Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Source Material. I am your host, Jesse Starcher, and today we bring you the first in a series of what hopes to be many excursions into the world of manga. Ronnie Adams of the Screen Boy Productions podcast joins me once again in making his first Source Material debut, a man I have done many a podcast with here on the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network, the host of the Sentai Rider podcast, and co-host of the Metal Hammer of Doom, Robert Cooper, joins the show. Tonight's topic is one that we have been planning on for close to a year now. Coop gave me the opportunity to pick which of these stories I wanted to read and discuss, and I chose a story by the name of Vinland Saga. Starting in December of 2005, Vinland Saga has been written and drawn by Makoto Yukimura. And folks, be prepared, because there's going to be a lot of mispronunciations throughout this whole episode, I guarantee it. The Vinland Saga is a story that does not want to be told, and I'll tell you why. This particular episode right here was recorded a few weeks back. My youngest was sick. He had gotten a flu that my middle child had gotten. So as soon as I put him down to record the podcast, he got sick. So we were kind of on limited time, and I knew that. I was able to come down here and record while doing the podcast, kind of keeping an ear out on what was going on upstairs. This particular episode was recorded for about an hour. The goal of it was to discuss the first two entries into the Vinland Saga. But what actually resulted was Coop was able to introduce and educate us on the world of manga. And at about the hour mark, I had to call it because I had to go upstairs and take care of my son. This also persisted the next week. I say that Vinland Saga is a story that does not want to be told. The following week, we had planned to record and talk about these first two volumes again, the first two entries in the Vinland Saga. Lo and behold, after everything was completed, I find that the program that I use to record our conversations did not do so. Even though I checked it five times and it said that it was recording a call, it did not record the call. So we had a 2.5 hour discussion about these two books, these two chapters or two volumes of Vinland Saga, and it recorded nothing but 12 minutes of Coop talking about some chick that he met at Lowe's. Parental warning, all right, explicit language will be used. Just want to get that out of the way, let people know that be prepared, because we speak off the cuff, and I don't want anybody to be offended. Hey, you know, we don't have any language restrictions on here, so I just want to give everybody a heads up. Some explicit language that is used in this particular podcast. Also, spoiler warning, we're going to spoil this book. At least, we're going to, I don't really know if there's too many spoilers in this first episode, but be prepared, because as we go forward, this is the Source Material Podcast. Things will get spoiled. Don't forget, folks, iTunes, Stitcher, just search Rattlitch and subscribe to the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network. That's where we're at. You can find us on there. Let's get on with this show. So Vinland Saga, man, tell us both why this one.
Well, this was actually the choice to pick, if you ask me. The reason why I picked it out of really, well, it's become my favorite out of everything is it's, I'd heard about it. I'd heard like, oh, you know, it's pretty good. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll give it a shot. Because I was not always as informed and crazy about manga as I, you know, am at the moment. So I was like, oh, let me check this out. Because while manga, the one thing that's really gravitated me towards it that really different from when I was in high school and I got really, really into American, you know, comic books. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that was actually I now have a ton of comic books that I'm never probably going to read, but I don't want to get rid of them because I'll just get screwed.
Unfortunately, that does tend to be the way that it works.
Yeah, somebody gets tired of it and then wants to get rid of it.
Yep.
Same reason why every pawn shop has a Warlock guitar. But so, you know, the American comics, typically, like, you know, there are lots of different types of comics, especially with more of the rise of the independent sort of stuff. Shit, I read one, I think it was about last year. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. They had just got it into the library, and they were about to send it somewhere else because it was more of a adult comic. It wasn't for kids, and that's mainly what their business is in my area.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it seems like a lot of times if you do catch one of those, there's no way the library knew about it. It's like, how in the world are you guys letting people get this from your library? Because it could get pretty graphic.
Yeah, so I got it, and I'm trying to find what it is at the moment, actually, because it was really, really good. I absolutely loved it. Read it all in like 3-4 hours. It was the entire story.
Nice.
But, I went adult comics. Oh, damn it. Why can't this be like the Japanese, where they just have a genre for it? a lot of the American comics are generally superhero comics or something that's kind of like that. You'll get your noir stuff with their Daredevil and Punisher, and I've greatly enjoyed that. But with the Japanese manga, you'll get all sorts of stories. Like, I remember that list I sent you. You had Vinland Saga. It's a Viking manga.
Mm-hmm.
Berserk is like a dark fantasy manga. The Flowers of Evil is some sort of almost twisted slice of life sort of thing. I've been reading one that was written in the 90s called Eagle, which is a political manga. It's straight up like a fictional Asian American Democratic candidate running for presidency in 1999.
Wow.
Huh. Like, yeah, and it was actually released right in 2000. They were trying to push it out the door for the election. It's really interesting because I've come to find out actually that the Japanese political system is very, very, very different from ours. Like, you have like, it's almost like, I don't know if you watch a whole lot of Dragon Gate, which is a Japanese wrestling company, but like they keep having, they have tons of stables that change affiliations and names, and that sounds like the Japanese political system, but what I read. But there's so many different things that it does. And when I saw, I was like, Vinland Saga, huh, Japan does Vikings. Fuck yeah, why not try this? Believe it or not, I had no idea what I was getting into when I bought it. I actually got it from the library. What's up?
That's right.
That's right. Second mention of the library, which today, by the way, I picked up Vampire Hunter D, novel one. So if you ever want to read books, it's almost like the equivalent of like a popcorn flicking a book. Is it amazingly written? No, but it's really awesome. Anyways, so I got Vinland Saga, volume one, tore through that in like two hours, you know, maybe two and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this is really good. So I got volume two. And the volumes they've been releasing here are actually omnibus volumes, which means they're a two in one.
Mm-hmm.
The releases for them are absolutely wonderful. Kodansha is the Japanese company, as well as the USA branch. The releases for the manga are absolutely impeccable. They're hardback, and they come with all the great stuff, you know, all the little bonus features, interviews with the author and all sorts of stuff. So I ended up buying all five volumes that were available for like $80-$90, and I was hooked. That's really the reason I wanted to get you into this one, is because I felt like it was something that was easily accessible.
Sure.
In terms of interest. Like, I know the reading right to left is, you know, even and it messes me a little sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you right now, at first it's like, okay, you're reading a manga. You got to remember to read right to left, right to left, right to left. I sit down, I start reading, and I totally forget about it.
I suck at it.
I remember sitting there going like the third or fourth page, and I'm like, why is this not making sense to me? What am I doing wrong? And then finally I realized, okay, right to left. Okay, so me and you have been talking about doing this book for a long time, almost a year now, and putting it on the show. I was first reading it. I was going through like volume after volume after volume, and I think I got up through like the 10th volume. When I stopped reading and got back into it here recently, I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to go through all this muscle memory. And trying to reverse myself into reading right to left again, it was like riding a bike for me. I was able to get right back into it and pick it right back up, no problems. That can be somewhat of a bit of an obstacle. After, I think, one book, I was like, okay, I'm getting used to this. I can do this now. Didn't take me out of the enjoyment in any way, for sure.
I was actually explaining to one of my managers at work. He was like, where'd you get this? My library. He goes, they have this? Yeah. And he goes, how do you read this? I said, okay. Can you read it in America? Or just regular comic book? Sure. I'm like, okay. Well, instead of tracking your eye, when you turn the page, you track your eye to the right. You don't track it to the left. So you're just kind of, you're looking at the side. That's how I do it. I just, instead of tracking everything from left to right, I'm just kind of tracking it right to left.
Of course, the way I was watching it, or no, excuse me, the way I was reading it was all laid out for me digitally. When you have a physical copy in your hands, do you start from the back of the book and go to the front? Okay. All right. I've never read a physical book, manga book in my life. Ronnie, let me ask you here real quick. Is this your first ever manga?
First one I've read completely.
Okay. All right.
I've toyed around with them. I've looked at them.
Sat down.
I've never committed to one.
Okay. I'm gonna switch gears here real quick. Let me ask you this. Ronnie, did you used to watch any anime when you was a kid?
No.
No Toonami or anything like Dragon Ball Z or any...
I've watched Dragon Ball Z, and I have... Yeah, when it takes 10 episodes to do one move, I kind of tend to lose interest. But I've watched, you know, Vampire Hunter D.
There that is again.
Yeah, exactly. I had a lot of friends that were into it. You know, I got into it a little bit, but nothing big, you know, no fanboy.
You ain't got a favorite or anything like that.
I mean, I liked Vampire Hunter D back in the day. I don't know. It was impressive, and the stories were fantastic. I guess I wasn't smart enough to do it.
It's a certain taste, I think. I can tell you that myself. This is the first. I've already said this is the first manga I've read. How is it pronounced, Coop? Manga or manga?
It's definitely manga.
Thank you very much.
It is not quite the William Regal Umanga.
Yeah. But this is my first manga that I've read. When it comes to anime, that's a bit of a different story. I get a lot of anime feel from this type of book. My introduction to, like, anime, of course, Akira, which is one of the... You hear a lot about Akira, but I can remember the thing that really I started like really paying attention to and making sure I go down to Parmar and rent the videotapes if they got them. And when you couldn't find them at Parmar, you were heading down to the place that had more videos in the town of Marietta. And that was the Guyver. That was one that I was really, I would say, that's the one I paid the most attention to. I was probably late high school, so that was 1993 or 94 when I started really watching those cars. I know, Coop.
I was early potty training.
Shut up, Coop.
Yeah, that was probably my first, we'll say, multicultural experience, I guess you would say. I was really starting to actually enjoy stuff that came from Japan. I think I tried to watch Akira once. Some of that stuff, just because there's such a bit of a cultural divide. Now, Ronnie, me and you won't compare, you know, how much either of us are more hillbilly, but I'm sure that I'm up there, you know. So sitting me down in front of something like Akira and it going over my head is probably not that far of a stretch for somebody to understand. Now, I can tell you that I have a good buddy, Golden Age Dave, who I've mentioned on the podcast and had on here before. Oh, my gosh, Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z. He was getting videotapes through the mail before, obviously, the internet became a huge thing. I can remember him modifying his PS1 just so he could play a freaking Japanese DBZ game that he got shipped from overseas. Anyway, that's just kind of a background on myself. Coop, was it anime first for you, or was it manga first for you?
Oh, it was definitely anime first. To be honest, I actually, when I was that big old American comic nerd, I was like, mangas just doesn't make any sense. You got to read it backwards. They can't do it. Like, I was one of those kind of like sticking my nose up about it, like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I bought a copy of, because you actually asked what was my first manga, I bought a copy of Bleach. I bought a copy of Bleach, Volume 1, from Goodwill.
Now, that's that's one I've heard of. I've heard of Bleach.
Well, the premise of it is high school student, of course, finds out that there's these evil, like, spirit beings called Hollows that kind of wander around, and there's these Soul Reapers that end up cleansing them and cleansing their souls, pretty much. And, his family gets attacked by one. He ends up taking the power of the Soul Reaper that's stationed in his area, and, well, I'm not going to spoil a whole lot, but, yeah, that was, like, those first 20 episodes of the anime slash, like, 6 volumes of the manga are totally not what the show's about. I ended up getting that, and I read it, and I was like, that's okay. One chance day, I went to the library and found out I could get volume two. And then I started getting literally six volumes. I ended up getting about 12 volumes a week.
Dang,
I would get
dude.
Six, because I would go twice a week and get about 5 to 6 volumes. I read it all in 2 months. That was about...
Dang.
60 volumes. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard people are worse. Like, I was on the Reddit for Bleach, and some guys, I read all of it in 2 weeks. I watched all of it in 1 week, and I was like, fuck, man. That's 300 episodes.
That's insane.
But actually, on some slight tangent that I pulled from your conversation, Akira, actually, when we finish Vinland Saga, we should do Akira.
Okay.
It's only six volumes. And the interesting thing about the movie is something that's absolutely odd is that the movie of Akira was plucked from the middle of the comic. That was like volume 3 and 4 that they adapted.
Really?
So there's two before and two after that happened. And apparently the manga is just kind of complicated, but it's really good.
I'm down for that, so, for sure, man. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, we've got all sorts. I know I've talked about the Flowers of Evil, which that will, when we do that one, that's going to be very interesting. Because I remember you read that premise, you went, oh, God.
Yeah.
This is weird. But, and Dragon Ball, actually, that was not quite, that was probably my first anime, technically. Like, I watched Pokemon, so that counts, even though I don't consider it one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was kind of a tuna. I grew up on Toonami to a degree. When I was like 8, 9 years old, I was obsessed with Gundam Wing. Though it's funny, I don't really remember a whole lot about it. I mean, in terms of from then, I actually bought the DVD set and still haven't watched it. Now that I've got a job.
Yeah, dude. Trust me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I have like 200 CDs and like 100 anime DVDs and 100 volumes, you know, and no storage space. So that's the best part. But Gundam Wing was definitely a big one for me. And I kind of ended up falling off just because I ended up getting this stuff like, just, you know, like video games and sports. You know, other stuff. I ended up, instead of watching Toonami, I'd watch like some like That 70 Show or something that would be on TV at the same time, mm-hmm. not even knowing Toonami was on. Because funny thing about me, I didn't actually have a internet access like on my own computer until I was like 17. So
I kind of
missed the boat. Because then when I hit 8th grade, like my entire high school was comic books, wrestling, and marching band. So,
nice.
I watched a little bit of anime, but it wasn't until, actually I found out Toonami came back on.
Uh-huh.
I started watching some of it, and that actually got me started on Bleach, because I saw, like, I was off, I managed to get one night off, and I watched just the night of it, and it was, I was like, wow, this happened, it was so good, like, the episode of Naruto was actually pretty decent, pretty good, and I was so stoked. So I ended up getting, you know, that volume of manga, and then I started watching more anime, read more manga, and it just kind of spiraled out of control, especially after I found out that there are a lot of really good anime podcasts. I was actually just listening to a interview with a guy who directed this anime, which they're actually now releasing the novels, called Legend of Galactic Heroes, which I like to call Babylon 5, the anime.
Okay.
That is totally what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is people talking... about shooting. It's like big spaceship battles, but half the time people are talking. It's really, and like, you know, tactical maneuvers, but it's really interesting. I've watched about 10 episodes. There's 110. But
jeez.
I'm like, oh, this is so good. Like, most people put it like up there. Like, people who love it will tell you it's boring. But an interview with him, and they asked him, well, what were you into when you were younger? And he's kind of, I think he just passed away a few years ago, but he's like, well, we didn't really have all of our own stuff. So actually in the 50s, they were greatly influenced by Disney films. Like, Disney is huge in Japan. I mean, they didn't really have anything. They had, I think, maybe the occasional movie. You know, nothing. TV animation actually wasn't really that big of a thing until Osamu Tezuka made Astro Boy. Because Astro Boy actually was made by Osamu Tezuka, who is the god of manga. The dude has released like thousands of titles.
Oh, really?
He's like, I heard, like, if you read one of, he's like almost like the Isaac Asimov of of manga. but the interesting thing is that he wasn't an animator. He was a manga artist. So he had to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the animation techniques that they used in those early days, and even some now, were actually created by Osamu Tezuka. I would definitely say that manga and anime are very intertwined. But I will tell you, actually, Now, once you read enough manga and watch enough anime, Vinland Saga really isn't really like anything else.
Really?
I mean, well, yeah, I think the only other manga I've been reading that has that medieval Western influence is called Wolfsmund. It's definitely not like this. It's I either compare that more to Game of Thrones, like everybody dies, like every single character you meet dies, and that's almost the point, because the Wolfsmund is some task that the rebels are trying to get through, and the bailiff, who's the big evil asshole, who's just smarter than everybody else, keeps catching them. So that's almost like the entire, I think there's only one more volume that they haven't released. Like, it's just like that constant battle. But in terms of a story structure, the real scope of it, setting, characterization, the only thing I can really say that's comparable in terms of Vinland Saga and the rest of a lot of manga is what you see from Thorfinn in the I'm not going to spoil too much, but definitely in this first part, he definitely has that hot-blooded shonen protagonist sort of feel, which is like your Goku. Well, Goku wasn't really a hot-blooded shonen protagonist, but the one thing he has that's different is that he's really quiet.
Yeah.
Because one of the main signifying tropes of a shonen protagonist, which for anyone listening that doesn't know shonen, I forget that I'm... I think I'm going to have to break some of this stuff down.
Yeah, you're gonna have to let us laymen in on some of the stuff if there's something. Yeah. Okay, no problem there.
Yeah. Japanese comics are typically broken into age groups. So shonen is your kind of your young, well, not really young boys, but kind of young teenagers and boys. Because actually a cool thing about manga is that anime, believe it or not, most weeaboos don't know this, which weeaboos are white people that think Japan is the Holy Land.
Weeaboos?
It was originally called Wapanese, but I think weeaboo is just one of my favorite things to say in the world. Anime is actually not something that is really socially acceptable past a certain age in Japan. Like, yeah, they release tons of it, but a lot of it that comes on is really late night, like, you know, 11:30 and later. But manga is huge. Everybody reads manga.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm sure most people do know that in Japan, it's a lot of commuting.
Yeah.
So people just read manga. Like, that's starting to get infringed upon now, though, what I've read, because of the invention of the smartphone. But, you know, everybody reads manga. So shonen manga is typically the most popular. It's aimed at that, I'd say like 9 to 16-year-old demographic. Mm-hmm. That's like your Dragon Ball, Naruto, Bleach. It's definitely the most popular. The most successful anime adaptations are typically of those works, because the way that they're made is that they're weekly. So with it being weekly, you just get a constant outpour of content, which means it can be adapted into a TV show that can constantly go on. Then you have shoujo, which is the girls' version of it. It's there's been some pretty good shoujo stuff I've read.
Okay.
I read girls' manga.
He don't care. It's all right.
Yeah. I actually got one volume of it from the library because they asked me, hey, make us a list.
Really?
I made them a list of about 50 titles.
Oh, Coop, you are like at a level that I'd love to be with my library.
Yeah, well, and the problem is that the they bought two volumes. They bought Attack on Titan Volume 1, which kept getting checked out like crazy, and then Ouran High School Host Club, which is a really... I read about 6 volumes. The anime for it's just really fun. It's a reverse harem, and I'm sure we kind of know what a harem anime is to a degree. It's harem anime is one guy surrounded by a ton of women who want to fuck him.
Okay.
But it's a reverse harem where it's one girl surrounded by all these
bunch of guys.
Nice,
yeah.
Pretty, interesting boys who, well, don't want to fuck her, but the girls probably just write stories about them fucking each other, because I don't understand teenage girls. But
it's a different culture.
But yeah. The last girl I tried to get romantically involved in was like really, really loved that stuff.
Really?
I once read like 6 chapters of a manga just because, you know, when you find a girl you really like, you start trying to get into things that she likes, and I'm like, too much butt fucking. I even told her, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is like a shonen manga where you have to have a fight every chapter. That's be butt fucking. And she was like, yeah, actually, I went back and read it, and you're right, there is a lot. I'm like, too smutty.
What?
Yeah, there's an entire genre. Actually, there's a South Park episode about it this year, by what I've heard. It was about Yaoi, is what it's called.
Yaoi.
Which is about yaoi, which is young boys loving each other. Not my thing. Yeah, see, I love how we've you brought me down the rabbit hole, but anywho, third category is actually seinen, which is most of what I read. That's what this actually started as a shonen comic. It was weekly for about 5 months. And then, as Jesse will tell you, it went monthly and went to a seinen magazine, which is 18 to 30-year-old males, and the art quality went up like 10 times. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
It got insanely detailed. But, I mean, seinen is, it's typically your, I mean, that's like the political comic I was reading is seinen. Typically, it's a lot more violent, a lot more mature. Subject matter isn't just fighting or whatever. It's a little more encompassing, I would say. One of my favorite ones is Black Lagoon. Black Lagoon is awesome. It's like a Robert Rodriguez film in a manga and anime form. It's just totally awesome. Okay. But anyway, and the last one is, I think, Shoto, which is for adult women. You don't see much of it, to be honest. Shonen Jump is a publication, actually. I want to say it started in the early 80s. Let me look it up. But actually, that's where most of the really popular in the West shows, like Dragon Ball, Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, all those shows, they all came from that. It's from 69 is when it started.
From 1969?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is old as dirt. And the actually really interesting thing about the Shonen magazines is, I don't know if you ever heard of Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, there was, I have, actually. That's another anime I remember seeing on the shelves.
And actually, the last girl that I did try to romance, listen to some of these podcasts. That was actually like the first time we did a little Skype date, which is we watched stuff over Google Hangouts together. And we watched Fist of the North Star together. I was like, that's pretty good. Pretty good life. And actually, I own the movie now. It's one of those. It's like, I really love it. And I know it's not like the best thing ever, but damn it, it's enjoyable. Oh. But Fist of the North Star, City Hunter was another one from the 80s, like the early and late 80s, like that 80s decade to, I'd say, probably about the 2000s or so, the violence level really went down.
Oh, yeah?
Like, the North Star, you remember, you punch people, Kenshiro punches people, their heads explode.
Yeah.
Their heads explode. And while there's still a decent amount of violence in the comics, it's not nearly as profound as it was then. But, Weekly, Shonen Jump, that's the big magazine. One Punch Man, I don't know if you've... One Punch Man is a manga about this guy who is so powerful, he defeats everybody in one punch, and he's bored. Like, it's almost like it's satirical, but I think it came out in the winter. Fall season. It was huge, because it was one of those, it was really well animated, it was like hyperkinetic, tons of action, it's really funny. In Shonen Jump, pretty much all your big publications are in Shonen Jump, and bringing it back to Vinland Saga, it started out as a shonen magazine. I'm really surprised Makoto Yukimura, who's the author, was able to keep up with his schedule doing those weekly shows, or weekly comics, because I know now, I was reading about him, actually. He takes about 2 weeks or so. 2 weeks of, I think, 6 hours of sleep a week, or a week. Yeah, 6 hours of sleep a day, if not less, with barely any breaks. Because another guy who does One Piece takes zero holidays.
Jeez.
That dude literally sleeps. I think it says he goes to bed at 2 and gets up at like 7 every day. And he draws. Yeah.
That's dedication, dude.
That's a Eiichiro Oda. That dude has been doing this since like 97, and he is, One Piece is the number one property in Japan, bar none. It's huge. But actually, Makoto Yukimura, before he did Vinland Saga, he did another manga, which is being re-released now by Dark Horse Comics.
Okay.
Yes, Dark Horse Comics is re-releasing it. It's called Planetes. It's a space trash man slice of life.
Trash man. Space garbage man.
Yeah, they're the main crew. Their job is that they collect space junk because there's been tons of colonization outside of our Earth. And all that, those satellites and all that stuff, it doesn't exactly leave.
That's right.
The first few panels is actually one of the main characters, but him and his wife are going on to a shuttle, almost like what would be the equivalent of an airplane ride, going on the old Boeing. But they're going on to up into space to take a trip probably to the moon. I can't remember quite where. but a piece of space debris hits right the window where his wife is, and an explosive decompression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it just follows the, kind of their adventures and exploits, and one of the main characters is, obsessed with getting on the Saturn mission, or mission to Saturn. And it's really interesting. I think it's really well written, but I feel like Vinland Saga is a totally different scope. Mm-hmm. Planetes, one day, hey, we could do it one day. It's only 26 issues, actually. Pretty short for a manga. But yeah. Vinland Saga, totally, totally different scope, because where in that one, I feel like is more of a, it came off more of a comedy, I would say. This manga, it has its funny parts, but especially in this first two volumes, or as collected as the first volume here in America, I would say it's definitely much more of a serious story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know the first chapter alone is like, isn't the first chapter 90 pages?
Oh, man, I think it's right up there. I know the first jump into it was pretty long. I remember that.
Well, the first volume, I think, is, I want to say, yeah, it's probably just your prototypical six pages, if I'm not mistaken, but for six chapters. But I admit I don't have my volume one because there's this cute girl I like. So I was like, hey, you can borrow my manga.
No.
And then she went and dated her ex. Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think. Things I've lost because I have crush on girls. AJ Styles, volume one, the TNA DVD, which is actually like, I'm not going to say it's hard to replace. I just don't want to pay $15 to replace it. Yeah, the best of Jeff Hardy from TNA, which really, that DVD was not worth the $25 I paid.
Jeez.
But that was when I first got into wrestling and thought he was the coolest thing ever. And then I found out that you just say no to drugs. And then there's a few other manga volumes I'd let girls borrow, but I have more than enough.
Well,
but yeah, that girl I can get Vinland Saga back from. It's just I haven't cared to talk to her since. It's like, oh yeah, go date your gigantic pothead ex.
I thought it was bad that I read Twilight for a girl.
You read Twilight, I read Embracing Love. So really, I don't think Edward and Jacob were trying to fuck each other the entire time.
No, okay. They weren't. That's why I feel a little better. And it's just...
Well, I mean, the actually funny thing was the romantic relationship between the two. I'm like, this is actually very well written. I just don't want... I'm just like, I'm just not... This isn't my thing. That's the one thing I will give them. It was actually well written.
Oh, man.
Now, Twilight... I'm pretty sure
it's not well written.
You can put my ass on a typewriter and throw some ants down there, and I think I can probably write something better.
Oh, I know you can.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a half-retarded seal could write something better than that. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But yeah, the first chapter of Vinland Saga is actually something really interesting. So I'm not mistaken, that's pretty much almost our introduction to the quote-unquote modern time for our characters. Yeah, because after that first volume, if I'm not mistaken, everything else is a flashback for the next 15 chapters.
Yeah, let's go ahead. We'll get into it real quick. We'll talk about this first volume. We're introduced to our character, Thorfinn, who's going to be the main character throughout the rest of this book. Young kid, just like Coop had said, also, he's quiet, but he's got some skills. We'll definitely say that. We're just thrown right into this battle that's going on. There's two people, or two factions waging war. There's the people that have the fort, and then there's this attacking force that's coming in trying to overtake it. And, of course, they're fortified in there. They got a lake behind them, so it's pretty tough for this, whoever these invaders are, which I can't remember what nationality they were. I think they were
French, right?
Yes, yeah. And they were trying to get into this place, and, well, Thorfinn... He's actually associated with a group of guys that are Vikings, I guess you would say. And they're the third party in all this. They're not involved in the war at this point. However, the leader of this band of Vikings is a guy by the name of Askeladd, who is the leader of this Viking troop, has decided to offer their aid to the French to get into this fortified, you know, this village. And in a long story short, the French finally agree. We kind of get to see Thorfinn's he's a young kid. How old would you say he is here, Coop? Like 14? 13?
Yeah, he's about 14 or 15 if I remember correctly.
But anyway, Thorfinn is dispatched to kill the leader of the army of this village. And one of the things that we are shown is that, okay, he agrees to it, but if he needs to bring back the head.
Yeah. So actually what happens is that he asks to bring back the head, and well, eventually that happens. Actually, there's historical significance to the characters in this book, especially with Thorfinn. He's something that was not revealed until actually the latest chapter is that his last name is Karlsefni, which is a famous Viking explorer, actually, from the 11th century. It was actually where I was just reading up on him before we started, just to make sure I knew what I was doing. It turns out I only half know what I'm doing. But Yeah, the Saga of the Greenlanders and the Saga of Eric the Red, which are two of those his expeditions, they're collected in something that's called the Vinland Sagas. So that's actually where this character gets his name and the manga gets their name. And there's characters later in the later on that actually have their own significance. I don't think Askeladd has anything historically significant to him like Thorfinn does. But it's something that's really interesting because seeing the historical roots of the character and seeing where he is at the moment is a, he's shares the name with a Norwegian folk character named Askeladden, which is a character known for his cleverness, and which is very funny. Because, Thorfinn is very much like almost like a crazed animal. Like, he only lives for one thing, and we'll get to that one thing in a minute. But Askeladd is, he's a very cunning and clever character. Actually, reading through some of the, this stuff here, like this first volume, and kind of comparing it characterizational-wise to what you find later, you can tell that Yukimura, he knew where he was going with the character, but I actually think they made him almost a bit more silly in a way here in this first volume, because there are some parts of it I would say he's a little more comedic here. I'm not saying he's a silly character, but he just, you know, there's just a little bit more comedy here, which I think probably just comes from them doing it as a shonen comic. But as you see throughout this first two volumes, he's not exactly a nice guy.
Right.
It's definitely really gripping to see how that relationship forms between the two of them. But I would say that Kimura does a very good job of constructing a really interesting first chapter to bring you, kind of bring your attention into something, and it really surprises me that they've never ever done an anime of this, because even though a story, the conventions of the story, the characterizations aren't necessarily something that are archetypal for anime, I feel like this would be something that would be, I would say it'd be something very popular in the in the Western market, because I've noticed now that the streaming has become so important to the anime scene in general here in America.
Yeah.
Anime companies are actually starting to gear and target their stuff to more of a worldwide appeal. You don't have nearly as many shows that are just so very Japanese. Like, you know, you're watching it and you go like, like, man, I don't get this because I don't live in Japan.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you still get some of those every once in a while. It's become much more of a globalized market in terms of anime because, you know, it's something that's gotten really different and has changed over the past few years is that streaming has become so big because now, in America, we get the shows that they get, almost the same with manga as well, that we get it literally, like, days after them. Like, we get it maybe, like, actually hours after the Japanese release, which is insane because, you know, mid-2000s or something. Hell, in the 90s, you weren't going to see something until a year, maybe two, unless for an official release. Maybe you're going to get some sort of good, some sort of bootleg with a good translation, but you had to shell out the money for those things.
Whew. Yeah.
And that much I do know. But now, what, $10 subscription to Crunchyroll, bam, you get like the newest, you get all the anime that they have available. You can watch it then. You can watch like the new JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. That's the big show of one of the big shows of this season because they break their streaming up into four seasons. It's big business. It's really changed the way it's done. So I'm surprised something like Vinland Saga actually hasn't been picked up for something like an anime. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But then again, I just work here, so maybe that's the whole reason why.
A lot of historical, I mean, as action-packed as this is, a lot of history, and Ronnie, you might have seen that at a couple of the final couple pages, I think, and a couple of these where they would kind of show like the way the land was or who owned what land and maps and stuff like that. So, but yeah, a lot of history in there. But yeah, that battle where, you know, Askeladd tells him, bring me the head of the commanding officer of that rival army. Thorfinn's like, yeah, I tell you what, same, I'll do that, but the terms are, you know what the terms are. And we find out that there's, even though he's in this in with his band of Vikings, there's a lot of tension between him and between Thorfinn and Askeladd. You know, we're treated to this great battle, you know, this great battle scene, just drawn to perfection, which I assume this is written and drawn by the same guy. Is that right, Coop?
Yeah, actually, Japanese manga is something that the story and the art is done by the same person. You'll have, there's some, like, Takeshi, I think it was Takeshi Oba, and, shit, what's his name? The guy who did Death Note. There was Takeshi Oba, and I'm gonna look this up in a minute. They had Death Note, and Fist of the North Star, which is, written by Bronson, as I know that, because he's got his name from Charles Bronson. he got his name from that. It was drawn by Tetsuo Hara and written by Bronson. And then Death Note was also one of those things. So you have your, get your artist and writer split. But I guess it's just because it's a lot easier for the artist to have input on the writing as well. But I think something that's a lot different from American comics, the Japanese manga artists, they have assistants.
Okay.
So they'll have people, they have like one guy that'll do the blacks and stuff in it. Cause actually another thing that I guess we didn't mention about manga is that it's almost always in black and white.
Yeah.
And that is because it's a lot easier to print that way. It's so much cheaper for them to release monthly or weekly volumes of black and white manga. Not to mention, it's a lot easier on the artists. They don't have to ink everything in color.
And they can put out, you know, a lot of work in a shorter amount of period of time.
Oh, yeah. I think my favorite one was Yoshihiro Togashi, the guy who did Yu Yu Hakusho. Mm-hmm. Like, apparently, this was in, like, the early 90s where they didn't get assistance. So, apparently, he had lots of health problems. And he's also writing a book called Hunter x Hunter, which, side note, is getting debuting on Toonami in about 2 weeks. And it's amazing, by what I've been told. It's really good. Towards the end of his run on Yu Yu Hakusho, which is another great manga, if you had a problem with Dragon Ball Z's taking 10 episodes to charge up an attack, Yu Yu Hakusho doesn't... I think almost every battle, except for maybe like some of the bigger battles, like they're done in 2 episodes.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a bit of a change.
Really well done. I absolutely love it. The manga, well, it didn't end very well, but you could tell he was tired. But there is a few times when in the show, Weekly Shonen Jump, they straight up release sketches. Like, not like the black and white, the finished black and white, like you'll see here, like his sketch work of it, just so they could print it. Because he just couldn't get the shit out.
Wow.
But yeah, they'll get assistance on nowadays. They'll have some people doing the some doing the black, some doing like the dot work and stuff like that. And it's just some doing speed lines. And oftentimes you don't really get to hear about any of the assistants unless you're like I think the only time I ever really heard about the assistants was I was reading Naruto. Anytime you get a new assistant, Masashi Kishimoto, who's the author of Naruto, he would give the assistant kind of like the back page of a chapter or something in the collected volume to draw something.
Oh, really?
He'd be like, hey, this is the new guy.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
It's something really interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I almost feel like, to a degree, there's a certain detriment for some people. Like, for example, I feel like I could write things pretty well, but I can't draw a lick. And I know people that can draw really well that can't write very well.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I feel like it's almost to the detriment of a lot of the Japanese creators that it's more of a, it's less commonplace for you to find teams which is something that I also will say is a lot different from American comics. I mean, you get your teams, you get your John Romita and family, you know, you'll get those
yeah.
types, or,
mm-hmm.
or Frank Miller and himself.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank Miller, you crazy, crazy old bastard. It's so funny how, like, he's such a talented writer, but past a certain point, he really just fell off.
Ronnie is reading Dark Knight 3 right now, and I have not had the chance to partake.
I forgot it existed, and I'm really happy that I have not read it.
You probably better off.
Yeah, I love the first one. Like, Dark Knight Returns is an absolute just pinnacle of just wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
Batman. Fighting, and then Sin City was also pretty good. Like, yeah, there's still lots of the exploitation of women, and it's not exactly the most progressive comic in terms of feminist ideals. But but you hit that certain point to where he did Holy Terror. I was like, oh no. But anyway, back to Japanese comic making.
Yes.
Yeah, oftentimes you'll find Tetsuo Ohara and Bronson or Takeshi Oba and, damn it, I can't remember the artist. He's a wonderful artist, though. Death Note is a really good comic. Like, the first half of it, I've read the first half, I was like, this is really good. And then I've heard that the second half really falls off, and I'm like, I can start to see that now, guys. But it's still much more of a team process. It's just something that's different, and I feel like it's almost kind of cool in a way that it's so different, so it's not the same. Oh, I find it nice that you can get creators that are so multi-talented. You can have them writing really great stories, like Vinland Saga here, having top-notch art. Like, I would say the art in Vinland Saga, especially, like, when you get much later in there, is absolutely just wonderful. It is insanely detailed.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful.
I was going to say, in that first battle, I mean, I say it was drawn great. It was just to watch how these guys were trying to break through and the action that was going on and had all these speed lines, I think is a word now that I've learned. But it was drawn like you were in that battle. And just to watch how Thorfinn at one point has no way of getting his prize. He was told to get the head of that general, to which he cut the guy's head off, but then it falls down into the moat. You know, any other person would be like, okay, well, I didn't get that. I guess, you know, I'll just go on about my day. He dives off the top of this wall into the moat and gets the head in order to fulfill his obligation and make sure he gets this one up on Askeladd. And, of course, he brings it back at the end of that, and we kind of are treated to what the terms of this deal is. And that is, there's going to be a duel between Thorfinn and Askeladd. And we've got to stop it right there, folks. What a cliffhanger. The duel between Askeladd and Thorfinn. The next time that me, Ronnie, and Coop get a chance to sit down and record, we're going to do a quick summary of Volume 1 and 2. Like, I'm going to keep it to, like, 15-20 minutes. And then we'll get into the next two volumes of Vinland Saga 3 and 4. So expect that on our next adventure into the Vinland Saga. All right, let's do plugs here. As for myself, you can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter. You can also follow the show's Source Material Podcast Twitter, which is at SourceMacCast. Give the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like. You can stay up on top of all the great podcasts that the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network has to offer. Also, for my buddy Ronnie, you can follow him at ScreamingBoyPR on Twitter. Don't forget to give their Facebook page a like. Just search Screaming Boy Productions. Robert Cooper, the man has a Sentai Writer podcast, and he has a Sentai Writer podcast Facebook page. You guys should give a like, because even though they have not had a Sentai Writer episode in a very long time, the likes continue to grow for that podcast page. So, also, catch Robert Cooper on the Metal Hammer of Doom. They've done some great reviews of some albums here recently that I've had the chance to be on. The last album they covered was the Killswitch Engage recent release. So if you're into that, go into the Rattlitch and Broadcasting archives on the Blog Talk Radio page
And you can find that stuff on there or check out the iTunes archives also. Next week, the plan is to do a review of the first volume of Robert Kirkman's Invincible. Got to talk to Ronnie about that and make sure we've got that down. I'm sure he's good to go, but that's what I could tell you to potentially expect. So that should happen on the 25th of April. After that, we expect a review from me, Ronnie, and Mark Ranulich on Marvel's Civil War arc. We're just going to stick with the main book that occurred. I think this was back in 2007, somewhere around there. But until then, everybody, have a great week. Thank you very much for joining me. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.